This is Radio MD COVID-19 Daily, your source for COVID-19 news from the front lines of healthcare. I'm Caitlin White. Happy Tuesday. It's April 7th. Welcome back. After the news, we'll hear the second part of an interview on combating loneliness during this pandemic, as well as an expert on how to boost your immune system. As you may have heard over the weekend, the CDC suggested people wear cloth masks when heading into public spaces. Studies have shown that cloth masks may help with the spread of infection when used in conjunction with hand washing and social distancing. Our own Scott Webb has more on how these masks work.
Though staying away from others and vigilant hand washing are still the pillars of prevention for COVID-19, most experts are recommending that we all wear masks when we are in public. And since surgical and N95 masks should be reserved for healthcare professionals on the front lines, homemade cotton masks are a workable option. It's recommended that these cotton masks be darker in color, two-ply, and washable. Some people are recommending the use of coffee or vacuum filters inside the masks for an added layer of resistance. There are numerous how-to pages and videos on the internet, including YouTube. It's important that you do not touch the masks while wearing them. Leave them on until you get home, then wash your hands immediately after taking them off. Reporting for Radio MD News, I'm Scott Webb.
Drug manufacturer Gilead is ramping up production on another experimental drug that could be used to treat coronavirus. Radio MD's Bill Klaproth has more.
Researchers are working around the clock to develop vaccines and treatments for COVID-19. Remdesivir is one of those drugs. Originally created to treat the Ebola virus, it is now in trial for use against the coronavirus. It's given intravenously but differs from a vaccine because it wouldn't prevent the disease, but if successful, it would treat the symptoms of COVID-19 in people with more severe cases. Researchers expect the first trial results on its effectiveness in treating COVID-19 next month. This is a story we will continue to follow. For Radio MD News, I'm Bill Klaproth.
And if you're looking for a little levity during all of this, let me tell you about how the stars of a 2011 movie about a fictional pandemic are coming together to tell you about this real one. Contagion was a feature film starring Matt Damon, Kate Winslet, Lawrence Fishburne. The cast recently teamed up with scientists at the Columbia University Mailman School of Public Health to share some important information about COVID-19. The school posted a series of clips with the stars giving hand-washing demonstrations, as well as sharing other helpful tips about how to protect yourself from the virus. We'll have a link to those in our show notes. And if watching a movie about a terrible fake situation that's actually happening now in real life is your thing, you can rent Contagion on Amazon Prime. Today is also being touted as the Great American Buy Local Day, as COVID-19 precautions have been shutting down many businesses nationwide. Your small and local businesses are the most likely to feel those effects. So order something online. Leave a positive review on Facebook. Treat yourself to some takeout or delivery for dinner. And give some love to your neighborhood businesses today. Yesterday, we talked to Dr. Roger McIntyre, the professor of psychiatry and pharmacology at the University of Toronto, as well as the CEO of AltMed. We talked about loneliness and isolation during COVID-19 quarantines. You can catch the first part of that interview in Monday's episode on your feed, but here is part two.
And so I guess the hot question is whether it's anxiety or loneliness from before this or the social isolation of quarantine in general. What are some ways we can kind of combat this as we get through this kind of isolating time?
Well, this is what I think is so important. There are solutions, and there's solutions for not only the stress of what people are experiencing, but also solutions for what could be an increase and what I suspect will be an increase in some types of mental illnesses like depression and anxiety and also alcohol misuse. Moreover, you know, the Great Recession, the financial crisis observed an uptick in suicide, and we're obviously very concerned about that with what's happening. So what are the solutions? Well, the solutions can be categorized into a couple of different buckets, so to speak. There's no question that there is a social government response that can be resiliency enhancing here. In other words, we know from lessons learned during the great financial crisis in Europe that when government stepped up to the plate and provided things like wage subsidies, provided employment assistance and insurance, tax deferrals, tax credits, this type of thing, not just to individuals, but also to small business. This mitigated stress, this mitigated depression, this mitigated suicide in Europe during the financial crisis. So these things work. There's also, in fact, individual things people can do. We should not approach this as passive recipients. People should try, to the extent possible, to embrace fairly easy to implement lifestyle activities that are doable even if you're cooped up in your apartment. Keep a regular schedule. Keeping a regular schedule is anti-stress. It's important to have a regular schedule. Get your sleep, get your exercise, do some sort of exercise in your apartment. Eat properly to the extent that we can, given grocery store situations and all that. So things are all relevant. The other part is I think people need to be made aware that there are first aids. There's first aids from a psychiatric or psychological perspective. I mean, and I was telling a colleague earlier today that I'm seeing on television COVID-19 assessment centers, these places where you get your nose swabbed and so on. Well, it's almost as though we need to have these types of psychological first aid clinics as well. I mean, almost metaphorical, but maybe literal as well. And I appreciate that access and availability for mental health has been always an issue, and there's issues around parity and timeliness and all these types of things. But this is an abnormal time, and I think that public-private partnerships will maybe be required here. But nonetheless, at least what I sort of see as being necessary is the provision of these types of psychological and psychiatric services, almost like a first aid type approach. And the literature shows, first of all, these types of services can be delivered. Secondly, they can be delivered in a scientifically supported way with best practices around the evidence of these types of services, like cognitive therapies, that are capable of really not just treating stress, but also giving you a vaccine, so to speak, against stress. They can serve as a resiliency to people, better coping strategies. And then, and where applicable, not for many people, not for most people, but some people, medication could be actually very helpful for them if they have, you know, severe depression and suicidality. And there's been some very new treatments that are emerging that we're very excited about, people should know about. And that's kind of what I do for a living. We're quite interested in developing treatments that are rapid onset for depression and suicidality. The FDA approved ketamine a year ago, which is the first rapid onset treatment for depression. Now, is that for everybody? No, of course not. Is that for the majority? No, of course not. It's for a small percentage. But that would be a tool in the toolkit, along with an integrated psychological approach, lifestyle approach, that we can, as a society, we can build a resiliency against some of these, this storm.
Having a strong immune system is one of the ways to help combat COVID-19. So how can you strengthen yours? We go again to Bill Klaproth, who talked with Dr. Christine Horner, one of the country's leading authorities on integrative and preventative health.
So as we all face the coronavirus pandemic individually, playing offense means having a good defense. And that's where our immune system comes in. Dr. Horner, why is that so important?
Well, we really need a strong immune system always, but particularly now. So our immune system is made up of all these different cells that will recognize foreign invaders in our body, so bacteria, viruses, even cancer cells, and then helps to eliminate it. So what we're finding with COVID-19 is people who have very strong immune systems are able to resist it or have very mild symptoms, and those whose immune systems are compromised, then they can get, you know, really sick and even increase their risk of mortality.
So when it comes to understanding our immune systems, I want to know what's bad for the immune system and what is good for the immune system. So first off, what are we doing wrong when it comes to our immune systems?
So I know everybody's stressed out, and like our instant thing is to go for comfort foods, which are usually high carb, high sugar, and that's the worst thing that you can do, because these refined carbohydrates and sugars are things that just kill off our immune system. There's studies showing that it can decrease the function of the immune system by 90% for about 5 hours after eating a high sugary meal.
So that message is loud and clear. A high carb, high sugar diet kills the immune system. So then, what are things that boost the immune system?
So sticking with, I'm always a proponent of a plant-based diet as much as you can, and organic, eating as many fresh organic plants as possible. Also super important is to get exercise, even some brisk walking each day. Is something that really helps with the immune system. Obviously, everyone's stressed right now, and stress is something that really kills our immune system too. And so it's real important to do effective stress-reducing techniques every day. So these are things like yoga, meditation, tai chi, qigong, even breathing exercises. And now that we're all stuck at home like that, there's a lot of YouTube videos that you can use that can teach you some of these techniques, but I would strongly encourage everybody to, you know, do that every day because it really helps to support your immune system. And then, you know, getting enough rest. So it's like, well, don't stay up super late at night. That's another thing that depresses the immune system, and try to go to bed early. And I think minimizing how much news you're watching.
Yes, too much of that will get to you as well. So those are really good tips. So we know vitamin C is one of the biggest immune system boosters. And in fact, researchers are testing the viability of high dose vitamin C in COVID-19 patients right now. Obviously, we don't have the results yet, but besides vitamin C, what are other supplements that can help boost the immune system?
Vitamin D is another one. It's crucial for our immune system, and we're hearing from the former chief of the CDC, who's talking about how important he thinks it is for us to all be taking vitamin D to get our levels up so that our immune systems are as healthy as they can be. And also, vitamin D has been shown to decrease inflammation. And that's something that we know really kicks up with COVID-19 infections and are thought to damage organs and increase our risk of mortality. So the thought is if we got our vitamin D levels up, then we may be able to decrease mortality.
So lastly, Dr. Horner, it's been proven that muscle loss occurs naturally as we age. So why is this important to consider when it comes to having a strong immune system?
So muscle loss not only physically weakens you, but it also impairs your immune system and, you know, could put you at risk for other types of chronic diseases. So research shows if we take supplemental amino acids, not only can it supply the nutrients that our immune system needs to stay strong, but it can also help to prevent muscle loss. And in fact, there's been research on very specific combinations of amino acids, which was found to be able to repair and rebuild muscle by as much as 57%. So I recommend a amino acid supplement called Rejuvenate. And the reason is it's real simple. It's just a powder that you mix in a glass of water and drink it once a day. And it was also found to, this is amazing to me, so at bed rest, obviously we have tons of muscle loss at bed rest, but they found that Rejuvenate was able to prevent muscle loss in elderly patients in nursing homes that prolonged bed rest. It really does make a difference for our health and, as I said, particularly now for the immune system.
And that's Dr. Christine Horner for Radio MD News. I'm Bill Klaproth.
Well, this has been another episode of Radio MD's COVID-19 Daily. If you want to reach out to us with a story or you just want to vent, you can reach us at COVID19Daily@radiomd.com. That's COVID19Daily@radiomd.com. I hope you'll join us again tomorrow. We'll be here with more news and information for you. I'm Caitlin White. Stay home and stay healthy.